Good morning, everyone.
Welcome to St. James on this absolutely gorgeous Sunday morning. It is wonderful for us to be able to gather here in this sacred space and to lift our hearts up to worship God and to hear God speaking to us through Holy Scripture and through prayers. What a wonderful, wonderful day. We've got a couple of announcements before we begin. The first is that we are having a food drive to support the Church of the Epiphany and the Huron College Food Bank, and to make sure that we get the right amount of food and the right things that people will eat. There is a fishing for food that is going to be happening in the Great Hall after the service. And it quite literally is fishing. There's rods with strings and magnets on the end that you reach in and grab a fish that will come out, and on it will have written what the food bank needs. So that's a fun opportunity to gather and to support and to help out those communities in need. Each week the food gets delivered, and so please consider being a part of that and helping to support those two really important and good causes. The next announcement that we have is, imagine if you were a parish administrator trying to keep track of the prayer lists and everybody asking for prayers. And sometimes there's a whiteboard on the outside of the office and somebody writes a name on there and you have no idea who wrote that name or how long we should pray for them or anything around that situation. That happens more often than not. And what we're going to try to do is, just as you came in the doors to the Bruce Street, there's a little table with a binder there, and we're going to invite you to anybody that you would like to pray for to write their name down, just their first name, because of course with being broadcast and live streamed out into the ether, last names become a privacy thing. But don't worry, God knows who we're praying for, so it will be okay. So if you would kindly write the name of the person that you'd like prayers for, and then each month we'll get a new paper. And that way it's going to keep us up to date, in rhythm, and make sure that our prayer list is actually who we are supposed to be and wanting to be praying for at that time. I had a third announcement, and that was last Friday was games night. We had about 30 people out. A good amount of pop was consumed. Cookies were eaten. While there were losers, nobody really lost. It was a fun games night, and it was a good time. So we're having another one coming up in the middle of next month, so please put that on your calendar on the 15th. It was great fun. Apparently, the sales of Ticket to Ride on Amazon or in the game stores are going to be going up this month because people really quite liked that game. Indeed with that. I think that is the end of our announcements, unless I've missed anything critical. And I don't see anybody jumping up. So would the congregation please rise? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all and also with you.
Hold us in your grace, O God, hold us in your grace. Hold us in your grace, O God, hold us in your grace. Hold us in your
grace. Oh,
We confess to you our selfishness and our lack of love. Fill us with your Spirit.
Lord, have mercy.
We confess to you our fear and failure in sharing our faith.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
We confess to you our stubbornness and lack of trust.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We confess to you all that distracts us from your mercy and love. In your gracious compassion, fill creation with your Spirit.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us faith to perceive his glory, that being strengthened by his grace, we may be changed into his likeness, from glory to glory, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all its descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which is already almost as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promises of God. But he grew strong in his faith, and he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will show me the path of life. The Lord will show me the path of life. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot. My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a goodly heritage.
The Lord will show me the path of life.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. I have set the Lord always before me. Because you are at my side, I shall not fall.
The Lord will show me the path of life.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope. For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
The Lord will show me the path of life.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your hand are pleasures forevermore.
The Lord will show me the path of life.
Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory.
With you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life?" Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, that's a fun gospel, isn't it? How can you hear anything past, "Get behind me, Satan," that Jesus says to one of his closest friends? That's pretty much a roadblock. What it triggers in me, and I do mean triggers, is a paper that I wrote in my first year of seminary. I was still learning things, I was still trying to figure out things, and I wrote a paper on the New Covenant, God's covenant with the Christian people. And there was a note on the back of it that said, "Michael, this is veering dangerously close to supersessionism." Does anyone know what supersessionism means? Got a couple of hands in the back. In a nutshell, it's basically that the New Covenant, that the Christian covenant, replaces the Jewish people as God's chosen people. And so they're out, we're in, haha, too bad for them. Not a good thing to be accused of. And after I had opened up my paper and I had looked in a dictionary what that word meant, I was devastated. Absolutely devastated. And there were thoughts of me going like, "Well, I shouldn't even do this then. I'm clearly not the right person to be a priest if I get accused of these things." It was a troubling and trying time to be called out on something like that. And I can only imagine poor Peter, who's sitting there and Jesus is telling them things like, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to get killed and it's going to suck and it's going to be really bad for everybody." And Peter's going like, "That's not the story. That's not how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to come in. You're the Messiah. The Messiah goes and sets things right. That's the story. So Jesus, you're getting it wrong." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." Not, "No, actually, it's a slight difference in interpretation, Peter. It'll be okay. You'll figure it out." No, "Get behind me, Satan." Wow. That is tough. That is really, really tough. In church life, there are times that I'm in a conversation that I might think that, but I'll never say it because I know the devastation it can do. So what do we do with this scripture reading today? It's gospel. It's good news. So how do we find the good news in this? I think immediately after, how Jesus frames it is so important. Jesus says, "You're setting your mind on earthly things, not on divine things." And that's an invitation to us. When do we set our minds on earthly things and not divine things? When do we make a plan and we stick to the plan so much that we miss the actual objective? It might be like at games night, planning to make a train on Ticket to Ride go all the way down to Miami, only realizing that you don't have a game card to take you to Miami. Right, Bet? It was a great games night. You really should come to the next one. But we can make these plans and get so obsessed with the plans and thinking that we're right that we miss the actual objective, the point of winning the game. We can set our minds so much on what we think God wants that we miss asking, what does God actually want? This morning at 3 a.m., I was woken up to the sounds of my neighbors having a party. They were starting their cars, revving them in this tiny little cul-de-sac that promised to be a quiet recluse from the rest of the city. And so I woke up with righteous, perhaps even divine fury as I thought, "I have to preach a good sermon in the morning. How dare these people be so inconsiderate? A curse upon them and a curse upon their Buick." And in that moment, I felt pretty darn righteous in my anger and wrath. But maybe I was setting my mind on earthly things and not on divine things. God calls us and tells us to take up our cross and follow him. What that means is that we all have crosses to bear. We all have burdens, we all have struggles, we all have things that might not be the way that we would have them if we got to choose. But it's not about getting over things or not having things to struggle. It's about picking them up and following in the path of God, God's self here on earth. A God that showed us that in the midst of struggle and in the midst of suffering, in the midst of loss and uncertainty, that is where grace shines the brightest. That is where hope truly carries you through. That is where love can make your heart soar. The season of Lent is often viewed as penitential and down and tough because our job is to look into ourselves and to figure out where are we following our own desires and where are we following God's desires. But I don't believe that that is a depressing thing to do. I believe it's an uplifting and inspiring thing to do. In my line of work, I've gotten the privilege to talk to so many people and hear so many stories, both joyous things of new life coming into the world, new marriages, new relationships, wonderful things. And I've heard some pretty devastating stories too. And what I've discovered is that when people are looking out for their interests, when they have an objective that they're clinging to above all else, and that is what God wants for me, there's so much struggle and strife. There's so much falling short. There's so much wrestling. But when people open themselves and say, God, let it be according to your will on earth as it is in heaven. Let me be open and be led to places that I might not choose myself to go. In those places, joy and love is found more abundantly than the best things that we can imagine for ourselves. At the end of our service, we pray, God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Isn't that beautiful? Infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. That means it's for us to be open and let God do what God is doing so that we might be who God made us to be. And I promise you that in that harmony with God's will and with your life, there is more joy and trust and peace than there is in any other way. Lent is a time for hard work, but not depressing work, not terrible work. Lent is a time for joy as we work to be who we are truly meant to be, the beloved of God, brothers and sisters of Christ. What a joyful thing that is. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I'd invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer.
Jesus, Savior of the world, you embrace the way of sacrificial love. Give your church faith and courage to follow you wherever it may lead. Pour us out as a libation in your service. God of our salvation, we trust in your promise. Jesus, Savior of the world, Raise up leaders who will dedicate themselves to the common good. In the heat of conflicting convictions, keep them in truth and integrity. May your justice flow. God of our salvation,
we trust in your promise.
Jesus, Savior of the world, in you all peoples are one. Strengthen the bonds that create a cohesive and peaceful society. We pray for centers of community life. God of our salvation,
we trust in your promise.
Jesus, Savior of the world, we look to you in our hour of need. Pour out your blessing on all who are ill or weakened. We think especially of Anna, Catherine, Gavin, Sean, Eunice, Marlene, Joan, Ashley, Sylvia, and Robert. God of our salvation,
we trust in your promise.
Fill our hearts with your joy and gladness. Jesus, Savior of the world, in you we find truth and life. Do not be ashamed of us at our hour of death. When you come in your glory, draw us home to be with you. We pray for Frida, who passed recently. God of our salvation,
we trust in your promise.
Would the congregation please stand? Our Lord Jesus Christ, after his death and resurrection, appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Let us pray. God of wisdom, may the light of the eternal word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, guide us into your glory. We ask this in his name. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth, because you bid your faithful people to cleanse their hearts and to prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that reborn through the waters of baptism and renewed in the Eucharistic mystery, we may be more fervent in prayer and more generous in the works of love. Therefore, we raise our voices to you in praise, to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to me the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we remember his death.
We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine, We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light, where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, we break this bread. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Broken for you.
Let us pray. Creator of heaven and earth, we thank you for these holy mysteries, which bring us now a share in the life to come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.